Okay. Good to see everybody again. And I apologize for the late notice of the shear, but we're having a shear on Wednesdays, Leia. Don't worry. You don't have to worry. If I didn't put the link, if it's not happening, I'll let you know. Bleed another. Okay. Viter, let's talk about getting to work. Because we talked about a little bit about LOL last week. And now we gotta talk about getting to work. I did struggle a little bit and try and th I wanted to think about talking about things that are not necessarily talked about, right? Because if you go on to, Wayu Torah, all these, Torah Anytime, if you click, let's say you listen to five Elul Shiurim in a row, three of them are going to be the same. Right? Elul is Elul. We get the point. So I wanted to, again, I probably will talk about some of the similar things that you've heard or you will hear in all the Shiurim that you're listening to or the stuff you heard Shana Avshan about, et cetera. But I thought I'd talk about specifically about work because it's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos that kind of tells us and gives us Mussar and gives us Chizuk about getting to work. And that's at this point of Elul. This is Yud Aleph Elul in Eretz Yisrael and Yud in America. At this point, where it's about getting to work and starting to move and not being lazy about it, right? We heard the Mussar Shmooze about what Elul is all about. We know, okay, Hashem loves us. Fantastic, wonderful. But now we have to actually do stuff. And Elul is about getting down to where the phrase goes, right? And it's the takeoff of the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. At the end of the Pirkei Avos, the phrase goes, "Hazman katzar v'malacha merubah." The time is short, right? And there's a lot of work to do. The Mishnah actually says, "Hayom katzar v'malacha merubah." That's one of the things that Rabbi Tarfon tells us, that the day is short and the work is a lot. And I thought, even though that's obviously good advice for all times of the year, it would be specifically apropos to kind of go over this Mishnah at least at the beginning of this year, very musardik, and get this chizik from Rabbi Tarfon, which is very relevant. So let's go through these two Mishnayos. It's Mishnayos Perek Vav, Mishnayos Tetz Vav and Tetz Zayin, and it says as follows. And we're going to go through almost every line. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, Hayom Katzar, the day is short. V'amalacha Merubah, there's a lot of work to be done. V'apoalim Atzelim, the workers are lazy. Right? V'aschar Harbeh, the reward is a lot. V'abalabais Dochek, and the Balabais, meaning the owner, insists. Hu Haya Omer, right? Rabbi Tarfon again, next Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon said, Lo Alecha Hamalacha Ligmor, right? There are a couple of songs based on these Mishnahs, right? Lo Alecha Hamalacha Ligmor, right? The work is not upon you to finish, meaning the job is not to finish the work, okay? V'lo Ata Ben Chorin Libatel Mimena, and you are not a free person to just not do it. Okay, then it says something about Limud Torah. Ostensibly, the shmooze is about Limud Torah also, but it applies very much to Elul and Musar and Midos, etc. Okay, the Mishnah that says, Im Limadta Torah Harbe, Nosnim Lecha Harbe. If you learn a lot of Torah, you're getting a lot of schar. Okay, but we're going to put that to the side because that's about Limud Torah for the guys. V'neman hu bal malachtecha, she yishalim lecha schar pulasecha. The owner, the master, the owner of the work is guaranteed to pay you your reward, right? You don't have to worry about not getting paid, right? Vida matan scharan shel tzadikim lasid lavo, and you should know what the reward is for tzadikim in the next world. So we're going to go through each line. If you didn't catch that, if you didn't write it down, if you don't have Safari open on your whatever on your computer, so I'm still going to go. I'm going to go through it line by line, word phrase by phrase, and we'll just talk about nothing fancy. We're just going to take Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, right? One of the main commentaries. On Pirkei Avos, right? He has anyway. We're just going to take that, and it's musardik enough. You can go and research more on your own, but it's just as it's very, very, very much appropriate and powerful. So he says, first of all, Hayom Katzar, the day is short. Yeah. Question? Yeah, shoot.
Yeah. When you say in the line when it said like the owner's guaranteed to pay you for your work, the owner meaning like the master meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or like the actual okay.
I mean, it's all a parable for us being in this world, right? And the master is Hashem, and we live in this world. We're the workers, right? We have work to
Got
do.
it.
Got it. You got it.
And
Great.
okay.
Right. Yep. Great. Okay. Good. So, Yom Katzar, the day is short. A person's days are short, right? We have to view, says Rabbeinu Yonah, we have to view the gift of our lives like Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Standing on our Sinai, right? 40 days, 40 nights, right? He gives the mashal, he gives like a king who tells a servant for the next 24 hours, you can go into my vault and count my gold pieces. And whatever you count, you can keep, right? So, obviously, no one would sleep during that time, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was 40 days, 40 nights on Har Sinai. He didn't sleep. Okay, that was a little bit supernatural, but how could you miss a moment of learning Torah with literally God? right? That's how we have to view our lives, says Rabbi Tarfon. There's no time, right, to waste. Now, obviously, he doesn't mean that we have to go beyond our natural abilities, right? Obviously, you have to sleep, otherwise you get sick. I can't go with, without 6+ hours a night. And when I push myself, for more than a few days to go on 3, 4, 5 hours of sleep, so my immune system breaks down and I can't handle it, right? Obviously, it doesn't mean we should literally just push ourselves until we drop. But the message is clear, right? Don't waste a day. If Hashem gave you, right, a chance to go into the storehouses and take as much gold as you could, you wouldn't stop for a moment. And if Hashem gave you your neshama this morning, that means there's something for you to accomplish that day, right? Today, not in 5 years from now, right now, today. And there's something that your day is short and we got stuff, we got work to do. The Hamalacha Merubah, right? The work, there's a lot of work. Right, even though, as we said in the next Mishnah, right, lo halacha l'gmor, we don't have to finish the job, right? That perspective very often takes a load off, right? It makes it a little bit easier for people to handle the job, right? Our job is to work, not to finish. Now, that may be counterintuitive, right? In most jobs, the goal is to finish, and they even say about the avodah parach in Mitzrayim, right, that the Jews, right, where they made them build many things over and over and over because they made them build it, right? What the Pitom and Ram says, they made them build it and then it fell down, or they broke it down and they had them build it again. So it's like a demoralizing type of work. But this is not that, right? This is that the goal is not to finish, because we don't know when the finish line is, right? Hashem is going to decide when we're finished, right? But our job is to work. As long as Hashem has given us a neshama, as long as Hashem has put us to work, our job is to work. Right, our job is to improve on ourselves. Our job is to accomplish, right, in Ruchnius, and as long as we have the ability to do so. Okay, even though there's a lot of work, right, we got to get to do it, but we don't have to finish it. Va'apol, meaning that's the finishing is not the goal. Va'apol, right, the workers are lazy. People are lazy, right? Human nature is to be lazy, right? Even great tzaddikim, right, obviously on their level, right, have a natural inclination to be lazy. Right. Be aware that this is something you have to overcome. It's not unique to you. And don't get depressed if the Yetzer Hara is making you lazy, right? Everyone else's Yetzer Hara is also making them lazy, right? That is just a fact. So yes, even though I'm talking to you on Yud Aleph Elul, and most of us haven't even started our tshuva process, and we're talking about starting, that's because we're lazy. And that's just human nature, and that's how it works. Veschar harbe, right? There's a lot of reward, right? Great reward awaits. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't even comment on that because it's pretty self-explanatory. Olam haba, don't need to talk to you about Olam haba. Baal HaBayis Dochek, the owner, the master, with a capital M, insists, right? Hashem has hired you to do the work, says Rabbeinu Yonah. He hasn't hired you to do a lousy job and then go collect your money like some lazy, like the, whatever it is, lazy X, Y, and Z worker. The salary is commiserate with the work performed, right? Hashem insists on a good job, and if a good job is done, he will pay you his salary. And if a good job is not done, then the owner gets upset, right? If you hire someone to paint your house and they miss three walls, that's annoying, and you get angry, right? The owner gets upset. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a job, right? He insists. And the salary is exactly what, corresponding to the work done. Lo, I said again, next mission, lo alecha l'gmor. More again, we mentioned you don't have to think, right, that, well, I'll never finish, right? I might as well not even bother, right? That's not how it works, right? The job is not for us to finish, right? Again, Rabbeinu Yonah speaks about a melas batorah, but it's just as true, right, as it is for learning Torah, as it is for working, right, on yourself, fixing your midos, etc. You'll get there when Hashem says you got there, right? Until then, right, your job is to get 1% better every single day, right? Like we mentioned last week, like James Clear says in his book Atomic Habits, like my cardio kickboxing coach, right, Coach Kozak says, just get 1% better, do this exercise 1% better every single day. Little did they know that they were quoting Pirkei Avos. How did they know? Rabbeinu Yonah. Anyway, that's our job. Our job is just to get a little bit better every single day. Lo ata ben chor en libalta mimena. You are not free to not do this. Right? This is not an option. Right? You are not just free to work, not work once in a while. Right? Did you get a neshama this morning? Yes, you did. Baruch Hashem. Well, then we owe the owner of that neshama, right, for the neshama. Would someone prefer to not get a neshama? Chas v'shalom? No, of course not. So if you get a salary and a job every single morning, so you have to do with what the boss tells you, right? Not like these Gen Z idiots who can't hold a job more than a year because no one has a right to tell me what to do with my body. These people are crazy. No, we have a job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, a job to do, and he gave us Baruch Hashem. He gave us all the neshama. So we have work to do. We have stuff to accomplish. Again, we skipping a couple lines about Talmud Torah because that, you know, not necessarily for us. The another line, you know, skipping a couple words. Right, Kosh Baruch Hu always pays his workers. Right, there's no fear of the owner of the project just bailing, right, and not paying you back for the work that you've done. So you don't have to worry about that. I had a friend who put down, right, they came to Israel, that had a little bit of money. This is 20 years ago. Put down a deposit on a house, and the guy bailed on them. The owner of the project, right, took 20 deposits and fled for Greece or something. So that's not going to happen, right? There's no chance of us, Chas v'Shalom, losing any of our work or our money, whatever. Kosh Baruch Hu's got us, right? He's going to give us our just reward. And you should know, by the way, that reward, v'dam matan zchar and shel tzadikim la'asid lavo, just know that that's you know, the encouragement at the end of the Mishnah. If it's hard, realize that the ikar reward is in the next world. That's what we're shooting for, right? It is amazing. It is unbelievable. So that Mishnah is basically the job description for Elul, I would argue. For many things, but for Elul, that is the job description. Time is short. We got work to do. Right? And even though it's relevant always, it's certainly relevant today on Yud Aleph Elul. Okay, so let's now kind of switch back into, like, you know, the standard Elul Shmuz, right? Yesodos and Tshuva. We're going to use last week's parsha a little bit, just because next week's parsha you'll hear Shmuzes on next week's parsha, right? They're different, right? And this is what I was researching, right? This is what came up over Shabbos in the next couple of days. But basically, Parsha Shoftim has a lot of phrases, right? Shoftim is Shoftim v'Shotrim. Shoftim is judges. Shotrim is policemen, right? The whole topic, the whole Indian of judges, right? Obviously, very relevant, right? For Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? Shoftim v'Shotrim titein lecha, right? You should put judges and policemen on yourself, right? That's apropos. Right? V'shaftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek, the pasuk says, you should judge the nation with a righteous judgment. Right? Pasuk says, lo sateh mishpat, don't pervert judgment. These are just some of the phrases in the parsha. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, you should run after righteousness, i.e., in other words, correct judgments. All those things, right? If you kind of, you take a shtickle chassidish glint, that's not a word, tint, glare, what was I don't know. If you take a chassidish bend, right, on that, those psukim, all of them can be applied to Yomim Noraim. For example, Rav Melech Biederman quotes the Kuznitzer Rebbe, right? He says that the Torah says, when he says not to pervert judgment, that a person shouldn't pervert judgment of themselves, right? Obviously, Hashem is not going to pervert judgment. He's the true judge with a capital J. But we also need to be real with ourselves, and we need to judge ourselves honestly as well, right? Then again, lo sateh mishpat, don't pervert judgment. Don't be blind to your faults. Don't fool yourself into thinking that your averos aren't a big deal, or that you're actually doing mitzvos, or that you're more righteous than you actually are, right? Again, don't get depressed, but do a deep dive into yourself, right? Just like you would your business or your whatever, right? And think long and hard and use Elul, right, as a vehicle for that. It doesn't have to happen today, but you should at least spend 5 minutes, right, and get to work. Rav Melech quotes an amazing pshat of Bnei Yisachar. Pasuk says, right, talks about laying siege to a city. Right, it talks about which types of trees you're allowed to cut down. But the pasuk says, "Ki tatzur, ki tatzur al er yamim rabim lilachem alel letafza." Right, if you will lay siege to a city for many days, right, to fight a war. And Bnei Yisachar says it's a parable for, again, for Yom Noraim, for Yetzirah. Yetzirah lays siege to us. Right, lays siege to our minds and bodies and souls or whatever. What is the gematria of Tatsur, Tuf, Tzadi, Vav, Resh? It's 696. I'm not a math guy. I'm not doing the math. You could do whatever you want. But the Bnei Yisachar says that's the amount of hours in Chodesh Elul. 696. That's very cool. He says, you know what else has that same gematria? It's the same letters. Just switch it around. Is Tzarot, Tzadi, Resh, Vav, Tuf. Right, that's also, right, the same. So he says we have these 696 hours, right, to fight off, right, the siege, the tatsur, right, the siege of the Yitzhara, and that will also, in the same way, right, fight off our tzarot, fight off all our troubles, right, through the rest of the world. So it's time to get to work. Even right now, in the middle of Chodesh Elul, don't put it off until right before Rosh Hashanah. Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, Mashgiach Lemir, right? He was when they fled from the Holocaust to you know, Belarus, Lithuania, Shanghai, etc. So he gave a mashal in one of his shmuzes that in one of the countries, I don't know, one of the countries that after the fleeing the Nazis, there was some sort of fine for leaving the backyard or the courtyard dirty. Right? Because it took away from the beauty of the city or something like that. So obviously, right, Yiddish kinder. Amen. And not so easy when you have six, seven, 12 kids running around, right, to keep the backyard and courtyard clean. So apparently there used to be a guy who used to run around screaming, Jews, Jews, Yidelach, whatever, I don't know, whatever the Yiddish phrase is, right? That when they have inspectors coming around, that they would know to, clean up the backyard quickly. So Rav Chatzkel says that's exactly what the shofar is in Elul, right? All month we blow the shofar and davening, right? In order to scream, listen, go wake up, go clean up your courtyard, go fix up your property, right? Go figure it out. And take yourself, put in the effort to figure out what's going on with you. Rav Melech himself gives a bit more modern warning. You guys probably don't have this, but in Israel, many places have a pay for AC system. Have you ever seen this? Were you guys, when in your 2 years, have you ever in a place that had pay for AC? A lot of the shuls have pay for AC. Basically, you have literally a coin thing where you put in coins, and that will give you, I don't know, 5 minutes of air conditioning. So, that many, like the main shtiblach in Har Nof has that. So very often, people will come into shul and one guy puts in a shekel, another guy puts in a shekel, and slowly they piece together, 40 minutes of air conditioning. So, but when you're having many minchas in a row, sometimes that runs out. And the stupid air conditioning system has the most annoying alarm for the last minute before the thing shuts off. And this happens in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei all the time, all the time. Some people will literally just walk out of their own Shmoneh Esrei just to put money in the thing. It's so anyway. So Rav Melech says that's the alarm also. That's the alarm for Elul, right? Literally just that's the shofar in Elul is that alarm. Wake up, get to work, right, before it's too late. The Rosh Chaim also points out a beautiful pshat from that pasuk, and we're talking about the war, right? The pasuk says that Hashem will give you a reward or whatever. Hamal chamel it's Mitzrayim, right? If you're laying siege and you don't cut down the wrong trees, whatever, and it describes Hashem as Hamalami Eretz Mitzrayim, Hamal cha, someone who took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim. But if we assume, right, what we said before is correct, that it's a Hasidic vort, that it's really talking about fighting the Yetzer Hara, who's laying siege to ourselves. What does the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim have to do with anything? So Ar Chaim explains that Hashem took us out of the muck and the culture of Egypt and the Gashmias and the Vodah Zarah. So too Hashem will get you out of your own personal Egypt. Right? Says Ar Chaim, if it was left to ourselves, yes, in Echanami, we could not beat the Yetzer Hara on our own. But Hashem helps us. Right, the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, right? It's a song, Rabbi Kiva, right? The like Bomer time, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that Hashem is our mikvah, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, purifies us, and He will give us, right, Sadeh Dishmaya. Right, Rav Melech quotes tzaddikim, right, which means it's probably his own idea, but the tzaddikim say, right, that when the pasuk says Lo Takim Lecha Matzeva Asher Sanei Hashem Elokecha, you can't set up. You have to have a mizbeach that's made out of many stones. You can't have a single stone mizbeach. That's called a matzeva. A matzeva, right? You're not allowed to have that. Hashem hates that. Why is that? That's the kind. Again, that's not necessarily right. The context of that, the actual halacha is not relevant for us. But Rav Melech says that a matzeva means a statue, a sculpture. Right? Hashem hates that. Right? Hashem hates a statue. Someone who is incapable of moving. Someone who is incapable of growth. Right? So the pasuk is saying, right? Don't make yourself into a statue. Don't make yourself into something that is incapable of growing. Hashem hates that. Right? You have to always keep on moving. Right? A person can always grow. Can always accomplish. And in Elul, right, we have to grow and accomplish and get into the palace and talk to the king and do all the things that we have to do. Rav Melech gives a mashal of a person who needs to get into a high security facility. Right, the gates are locked. It's the middle of the night. The place is locked down. Guy calls out to a gatekeeper, screaming, "I gotta get inside! I gotta get inside! I gotta talk to the king!" And all of a sudden, the doors grind open. Right, so you can imagine, like in Lord of the Rings, or one of those, the gates grind open. So from the guy's point of view, standing at the entrance to the gates, right, there's some massive animal pulling the gate in, right? But really, it's just a dude with a button, right? Dude, push the button, gates open, right? There's a machine. So Rav Melech explains, yes, that we are all trying to get into the palace. There's high security, high walls, multiple locks, right? The whole thing is shut. But Torah and Tefillah and Davening, which will and Tshuva, right? Those are our buttons. Those are the ticket inside, right? It seems hard, right? But if we put the work in, so then those are the buttons that we can push, right, to get in and speak to the king, right, on Yom HaNoraim. Rav Pinkus asks an unbelievable question, right? The answer, sometimes when you're reading these pieces, right, the answer, at least to my immature, infantile mind, falls a little bit flat, and he takes it in a different direction. So we're gonna schmooze it within our context. But he asks this unbelievable. He has a grape shot question. He says, "We know that tshuva, right, is one of the hardest things in the world, right? If we were able to do tshuva, complete tshuva, real tshuva, right, we could show up in Elul the next year and start working on other things, right? We could even do tshuva on two or three things, right? Then we could just check that box, and the next level we could just show up and do something else. But obviously, we don't do that, right? We show up in Elul every single year. We're still working on the same things, right? This year is Lashon Hara. Last year is Lashon Hara. The year before is Lashon Hara, or whatever Aveira it is. I'm just picking one, right? Again, every single year we show up with the same stuff, right? So there seems to be something missing with the tshuva that we have, right? Because we repeat the process for the same thing every single. It's the same thing, same process every single year for the same Aveiros. So Rav Pinkus asks, he notices that when we perform the mitzvah of tshuva, do anybody know how to perform the mitzvah of tshuva? Right, we talk about tshuva like some lofty thing, but there's actually a mitzvah of tshuva. Do you guys know how the Rambam says we do that? Anybody know? It's through saying vidui, right? That we say, again, there's a process. Okay, we learn Hilchos tshuva. Again, I'm simplifying it a little bit and not giving it its due discussion. But there's a vidui. We say slichot, right? We say 10 viduis on Yom Kippur. Right, we admit Ashamnu Baganu Gazalnu, right? Al Chaytcha Chatanu Lefanacha, this, that, and the other thing, right? All we have to say things out loud. Rav Pinkus notices, he says, all of these viduis are buried inside of tefillos, right? Are smack in the middle of tefillah, of davening, in the middle of Shemona Esrei. We say Slichot, right? At night, midnight or before davening, after davening. What in the world does tshuva have to do with tefillah? What does tshuva have to do with davening? It would have been much better to do tshuva, says Rav Pinkus. Why don't we just do tshuva outside of davening, right? Why, let's say in between Musaf and Shacharis and Musaf, Gabbai bangs on the bima and says, "Okay, everybody, now we're doing tshuva," and everybody would close their eyes and mutter and think and sway and cry and blow their nose, whatever. Why do we do Ashamnu Bagadnu? It's all in the davening, and some Sfardim sing it because they're so happy. Why is it in the davening? So and Rav Pinkus points out that there's a fascinating language in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin, which talks about the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim, right? Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun. That's part of the Vidui. We say it a bajillion times on Yom Kippur, right? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Il Mole Mikra Kasuv Yevshar LaOmro. If the pasuk hadn't written it, we would not be able to say it. But Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun, etc., right? That whole phrase, right? That's written in Parshas Kisisa. Melamed Shenis Atei V'Kosh Baruch Hu K'Shliach Tzibor. It's as if Hashem wraps himself like a chazan. V'hera lo l'Moshe Seder Tzvila. And he showed Moshe the Seder of Tzvila, the order of davening. And Amar lo, Hashem said to Moshe, Kol zman she'Yisrael chotem, when B'nai Yisrael sin, Yasu l'fanai k'Seder zeh, say this order of Tzvila in front of me, excuse me, v'ani mochel lahem, and I will be mochel them. And then it's talking about that, Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanun, right, all this vidui that we say. What's Seder Tzvila? What is the Seder of davening? What does davening have to do with vidui? So Rav Pinkus says that, again, he takes it in a different direction, right? That really Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who makes our tshuva happen, and he's the one who cleanses our sins, and I didn't really understand it entirely, but I think if we take it into a little bit of a different direction, it's very, very powerful as well.
Wait, Rabbi, I have a question before you get the answer. Could you just clarify the question again? Because I didn't really have a thing.
Rav Pinkus says that we do tshuva, right? Meaning when we say do tshuva, right? Doing tshuva obviously is a big process, but the actual mitzvah of tshuva involves saying words in the middle of davening, right? That's vidui. It's the vidui. The Rambam says we do tshuva by saying vidui, admitting our sins. Obviously, you have to decide to do better, and you don't want to do it again, etc. There's more to it, but the main part of tshuva is the vidui, is the davening that we say in the middle of Shmon Esrei and Slichot, etc. So why is that? Why does tshuva have this component that we do in the middle of davening? Right? What does tshuva have to do with davening? And why is the Gemara saying in of Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin, for example, that Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, that Hashem Hashem Kol Rachum V'Chanun, is a Seder Tzfila, is a prayer? Right? Obviously, we're davening to Hashem for Hashem to forgive us, but that's different, right? We're doing tshuva, right, through saying these words. Right, so it's very odd that we would include that into davening. It should be some separate type of, not related to davening situation. Yeah, ish.
Yeah, I think I have an answer, but I'm not saying it.
I mean, you're welcome to suggest.
No.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so first of all, Rav Pinkus points out before we get to the actual answer, and he says that we have. Most of us, many of us, have a poor understanding of what tshuva is, right? Our understanding of tshuva is like someone's understanding of how a car moves, If you ask someone who doesn't know anything about cars, you ask, how does a car move? So they'll be like, well, you step on the gas and it moves. Listen, oh, it's obviously pretty silly. That's probably what my 6-year-old would say. Right? That's a very infantile understanding of how a complex machine works. Right? So he says that's our understanding of tshuva also. We think that tshuva is like these New Year's resolutions type of statements or commitments or whatever that we take upon ourselves every single year. I use that phrase consciously because just like New Year's resolutions, they disappear within weeks, sometimes even days. Right? And again, when you say you're not going to speak Lashon Hara anymore, so that's great, right? But that's making a crucial mistake, right? These types of problems are not fixed so easily. Right? You have to get to the root of the problem. As says Rav Pinkus, right, we think that tshuva is fixing our actions. Right? It's someone who just decides to stop using their phone on Shabbos. And while that's fantastic, right, that's not fixing the root of the problem. Right? That's putting a towel on like a gushing wound or something. Now, to be totally fair, this is not putting a towel on a gushing wound, meaning a gushing wound you really have to stitch up. You have to make sure that it's not, a towel is something you do in an emergency, right? But the towel doesn't fix the injury, right? You have to have much more serious, whatever. I don't know if you like that muscle. Fine. If you didn't like it, that's fine. Anyway, this is not like a Shana Al Shmuz, by the way, right? This I would never tell as a Shana Al people, right? Like, the stopping of the action that you're doing that's not good is inherently good, right? You should stop using your phone on Shabbos. You should stop saying Lashon Hara, right? But that's not the root of tshuva, right? I would never tell us to shun off people because we need shun off is an emergency, right? We got to get this straightened out. We got to get it, before we work on the panemius, you guys got to stop doing whatever X, Y, and Z. Okay, whatever. Don't Eliana, don't say that to them. But tachlis, how do you, what's real tshuva again to the point where you won't have to do this again and again and again and again and again? Real tshuva. So honestly, you all probably know the answer. And the reason you know the answer is because you went through the Shana Aleph, Shana Bet process. And now I want you to think back to your Shana Aleph days and think about the changes that you made in your life that worked, that stuck with you, and that you're still doing today. Good? Pick two examples. I don't know, something that you were doing in high school, or that you were doing in high school and that you're not doing now, right? Or the reverse. Maybe you weren't davening. Maybe you were not davening in high school. And now you're davening. Good. Think about the changes that lasted. Now think about the changes that you made that didn't work, that didn't last, that were only temporary. Right? What was the difference between those things? Right? Why were certain changes long lasting and certain changes not long lasting? Okay, so first of all, it's because it's nearly impossible to flip a switch like that. Right? You guys know that. Right? You don't decide to stop using your phone on Shabbos, just because Rabbi Lach called you a bum and Rabbi Fuchs says you're going to get him. Right? Maybe that works for a week, right? But after that, we don't care. Right? Maybe you were mortified and embarrassed or whatever. But that's not what causes lasting change. Right? Something that causes lasting change is when you start focusing behind the scenes. Right? You start thinking about yourself, I would argue. Right? When you start thinking about what you want, right? Your relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu, your priorities, what was important to you, your mindset, etc. Right? Maybe you were a little bit more mature and you shifted your perspective. All that stuff is happening behind the scenes. You didn't just decide to not use your phone on Shabbos or wear a longer skirt or stop eating Rabbanut. Noot. Kidding. Whatever. Rabbanut Noot's fine for some people. There was so much else, right, that happened, right? You were thinking, you were analyzing, you're growing, etc. You made a real change to your insides, your panemius, right? You made decided to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to become a different person, right? To change what was important to you, right? Like we talked about last week, right? This guy James Clear, who I apparently I'm quoting every week, even though I'm three chapters into his book, because a person, you became a person who doesn't use their phone on Shabbos, or you, a person who doesn't wear that type of clothing. So that's why tshuva in davening, right, go hand in hand, right? Davening, again, I'm not going to go through the whole davening shmooze, but the word lehitpalel, right, to daven, the word pilel means to think. That's based on Psukim and Chumash. We don't have to go into all the details. The word lehitpalel is reflexive. It means, lehitpalel literally means to think about yourself. Davening is thinking about yourself, is judging yourself, refocusing on what you want, right? Reading the words in the Siddur and training your mind to be like, this is what I want, or what I should want in life, right? Reading other words, right? Not only Shmoneh Esrei, the rest of the words, right? Having emunah bitachon that even if you want something really badly, right? Realizing where it comes from, right? That Kosh Baruch Hu is giving you everything at the exact moment that he wants, and no amount of you doing all the research beforehand is going to change that. Just for example, wife and I were getting a new fridge, got a new fridge, researched the heck out of it, went to a million stores, finally, just one day, came home exhausted. I literally had driven around all of Meisharm, all 4 hours in the car, going to store to store to store. Finally, just plopped down in front of the computer, fired up the Israeli Amazon, which is zap.co.il, which is not really Amazon. It's just a database of all the stores that sell stuff. I typed in the measurements, and onto the screen popped the fridge that I had never seen, one I'd never considered from a good brand with a good price. It was delivered 2 days later, even though shipping is, usually over a week, and we ended up getting it before Shabbos. When Hashem decides it's time for you to have something, it's time for you to have something. And all the research and the analysis in the world is not going to change that. It's not going to bring it to you faster. Davening and learning and doing mitzvos instead, that might be doing faster. But what davening helps a person refocus and realize, right, that they are not the ones necessarily in charge. Baruch is the one who's in charge, and the relationship with him is makes all the difference. Like we said at the end of davening, right? We say Baruch Gever Sheyivtach Vashem, right? Blessed be someone who relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say things like, I don't rely on man, I rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That part's Aramaic, so you probably didn't notice it. It's when we take out the Torah. There are hundreds of examples like this when we're fine-tuning how we approach our lives and our relationship and our world, and how we view us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Ikar of Tshuva. Right, changing what's going on inside, behind the scenes, right? And this, by the way, is why you should have confidence that you can do a real, honest tshuva, because you've done it, literally done it already. Right, you've had your Shana Aleph experience already. You've had your Shana Bet experience already. Right, that amongst many other things, it was amazing for many reasons. One of them is because you did real tshuva. Right, I would argue this is one of the great benefits of a Shana Aleph experience, aside from all the other awesome stuff. Right, you can use that as a model for future tshuva. You've experienced it already, right? I tell this story often, and I apologize if you've heard it from me many times. I remember davening mincha when Eitan was in the hospital for a couple of weeks, right, in different times. So I remember davening mincha in a hospital with all these people around you, IVs in their arms, and this guy needs that, and a bandage on his head. Mincha in a hospital is different than a mincha at a shtiblach when everybody's running to work or something, right? That is a mind trip. So obviously that's a much more powerful tefillah than other tefillahs. So I can call back to that. I don't always daven like that, sadly, because I don't have that focus, but I can remember, I can call back to that. Remember how you davened once. Try and emulate that. So you have that for tshuva, right? You did it, Shana Aleph, Shana Bet. You can do that for tshuva. You can re-emulate and duplicate that tshuva process. Finally, so that's why, oh my gosh, got ice in my mouth. That was weird. Okay, unexpected cold teeth freeze. Yeah, so that's right. So that's why tshuva is subsumed in tefillah, and that's kind of the goal here, to run it, to change things behind the scenes, not necessarily make superficial changes, right, that will just pop up again 2 weeks later. Finally, to finish off, Rav Asher Weiss points out that even though tshuva is maybe sometimes a painful process at first, and that's what keeps many people from starting or doing a real proper job or real proper analysis, it ends with simcha and joy and love. He points out that in Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar's Talmidim asked him the following phrase. He said, "Heach nase tshuva v'nichya? How can we do tshuva and live?" Rav Asher Weiss points out that's a very odd question. Question should have been, "How do you do tshuva?" Well, seems like, right, they probably knew how to do tshuva and die. So they were asking, how do you do tshuva and live? Now, what in the world does that mean? So Rav Asher Weiss says it probably because they knew the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Dedoya. I don't want to go through this again, but again, you've heard this, I'm sure, in many shmuzes. Gemara says in the Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin, Rabbi Elazar ben Dedoya, his hobby was collecting zonas. Sure enough, he went to one zona at the end of the world, and somebody, according to, depending on who you understand the phrase, basically said that you are never going to end up doing tshuva, you're never going to be accepted. He realized that he was in a bad way, and he ended up, asking everybody to help him, and the mountains didn't help, and the sky didn't help, and he realized, Eina davartoli ela bi. Apparently, it's only rely, or, you know, rely. I can only rely on myself. It's only dependent on me. And he put his head between his knees and cried and died. And then that's where the Rebbe says a person is kona olamo b'sha'achas, where the Baskol came out and said he's going to Olam Haba. He ended up as Rebbe Elazar ben Dedoya because he taught us that even if you're in such a bad way, you can still do tshuva. So they knew that story, but the question was, says Rav Asher Weiss, how can you do tshuva and live, right, and not have a life of misery and regret and depression for your past misdeeds? How can you do tshuva v'nichya, right, and live, right, be b'simcha, b'tuv, be happy instead of beating yourself and getting all depressed? So Rabbi Elazar answered with two psukim. One from David HaMelech and one from Shlomo HaMelech. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Yanecha Hashem b'yom tzara. Again, this is the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer. I'm quoting what Rabbi Lezer's response was. Rabbi Lezer's response was, Yanecha Hashem b'yom tzara, Hashem will answer you on the day of pain. And Dodi shalach yado min achor, umayai hamula alav. And Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that my beloved, meaning Hashem, right, stuck his hand out from behind the hole, or behind the with the hole next to the door. Okay, and I got it all emotional about it. What's going on with these psukim? So Rosh Hashanah says this is the two stages of tshuva. The beginning of tshuva is biyom tzara, is a day of pain, right? And it breaks the heart. Your person does real introspection, is embarrassed and feels badly, etc., etc. But Yan Hashem, Hashem will answer you, right, on the day on that day. Right, Rav Asher Weiss points out a fascinating language of the Rambam. Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav, that when a person does tshuva, right, a tshuva miskareves his rachokim, it brings people close. Okay, and then he says, Emesh, yesterday, hayazes sanui lifnei hamakom. This yesterday, this person was hated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mishukatz umuruchatz umuruchak v'toeva. Mishukatz like a sheketz, like a shkatz. Right, muruchak distance, right, v'toeva and disgusting. Vayom, and now, after a person does tshuva, hu ahuv v'nechmad karov yadid. He is loved. He is nechmad nowadays means cute. Probably it's probably not what it means. Karov means it's close. Yadid means they're friends, they're beloved, etc. So becoming closer to Kosh Baruch Hu, right, makes a person feel better. Right, as the neshama gets closer to its source, a person feels better, etc. Right, like a David writes elsewhere in Tehillim, vani kirvasa l'kim litov. Right, getting close to Hashem is good. When a person does tshuva, Kosh Baruch Hu answers our tefillos. Right, on Yom Tzara, we turn into ahuv v'nechmad karov yadid. We turn into beloved, right, people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the simcha fills us that we couldn't have imagined beforehand, right? When your person's depressed, I'm sure you guys know, if you're having a bad day or a bad week or whatever, can't even imagine getting out of it. But after a person does get out of it, right, it's a tremendous simcha from having getting out of that dark place. And that's what Shlomo Melech is saying. When a Kosh Baruch Hu, kivyachol, right, our beloved, sticks his hand out, right, from the hole next to the door to reach out to us, to grab us, right, right after, this is right after the pasuk says, kol dodi dofek, right, my beloved's voice is knocking, Hashem's voice is knocking. So when a Kosh Baruch Hu, right, is reaching out from us, right, we can't help but get emotional. We can't help but have our insides kind of get the stir, as the pasuk says, right? And we realize that Kosh Baruch Hu is also searching for that relationship, and so Mitzvah Shem, right, we should be able to be zocha to begin that process, to get to work, right? Even though it's a hard process, it starts off with a little pain, but like any necessary procedure, a little bit painful perhaps at the beginning, but in the long run, right, it's for our benefit. It'll bring us to our tafkid, to our true purpose, to ultimate, to the ultimate happiness, right, of Dveikus Bar Kosh Baruch Hu. Amen. Ken Yerotzen. Good luck, and we'll see you
Amen.
next week. It's a Shem. Amen. Ken
Have a
Yerotzen.
question.
Yeah, sure.